Delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor but want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. That's WonderfulPistachios.com. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting, they can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So, press play on Good Sleep tonight, because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 1699, Common Mistakes When Tracking Macros, by Rachel Gregory of MetFlexLife.com. And I'm your host and narrator, Dr. Neil Malik. Hey there, happy middle of the week Wednesday, and welcome back to Optimal Health Daily, where I read to you from popular health and fitness blogs, and always with a bit of my commentary at the end. Now, today is Wednesday, and like I do every Wednesday, I like to give you a little bit of inspiration. So, here we go. Quote, "If we have never been amazed by the very fact that we exist, we are squandering the greatest fact of all." Will Durant. All right, now that we're in the right positive frame of mind, let's get right to today's post and start optimizing your life. Common Mistakes When Tracking Macros, by Rachel Gregory of MetFlexLife.com. We've chatted before about tracking macros and why it can be beneficial in helping you reach your goals. Quick recap on why tracking your food can be helpful. It creates structure, direction, and ultimately more control. It makes you aware of your eating habits and how those habits affect your results. It teaches you energy and macronutrient contents of the foods you're eating and the portion sizes. It helps you gain awareness of mindless eating. And it teaches you how to structure your diet for health and performance. And of course, there's lots more. But let's chat about some of the common mistakes that occur when tracking that could be holding you back from reaching your goals. Number one, using generic measurements. The issue with generic measurements is that they are very subjective. A medium avocado to you could look like a large avocado to me. Same goes for other vegetables, fruits, and so on. Did you know avocados can range anywhere from 3 to 8.5 ounces without the seed and skin? If we do the math, that's a range of anywhere from 130 to 400 calories. When tracking, it's best to remove the subjective part as much as possible and base your info on objective data. Instead of logging half a medium avocado, grab a food scale and measure it out in grams or ounces. Number two, measuring volume instead of weight. I remember when I used to bake with my grandmother as a kid. She always reminded me to be very gentle when scooping the flour into the measuring cup and not packing it down. Why? Because if you're not careful, you're going to get a lot more than you think you're getting. Same goes for when you're using measuring cups or spoons to scoop out things like protein powder, almond flour, peanut butter, and so on. Not only could you be packing the contents down more, but it's super easy to overfill or underfill without even realizing it. Plus, all measuring spoons and cups are manufactured differently, which means they all vary slightly in their capacity. Again, your best bet is to invest in a food scale. Once you get it, test out what one scoop of your protein powder or one tablespoon of peanut butter actually weighs. I think you're going to be really surprised. Oh, and weighing instead of using multiple spoons and cups means less dishes to wash. It's a win-win situation, folks. Number 3, eyeballing portion sizes instead of weighing. This one pretty much goes hand in hand with number 2. Obviously, weighing your food all the time is not practical, especially if you're eating at a restaurant or going over to a friend's house for dinner. But this is where that awareness thing I always talk about comes into play. Taking the extra 2 seconds to pull out your food scale when you're at home and measuring that handful of almonds or the 6 ounces of steak is going to teach you exactly what certain quantities of certain foods look like. So when you do go out to dinner or over to your friend's house for a snack, you'll be able to eyeball your portion sizes much more accurately. Number 4, weighing raw and logging cooked weight. I get this question all the time. Should I weigh my food raw or cooked? The simplest answer is that weighing your food raw will always be more accurate because when we cook food, it can either lose moisture, think when cooking meat and veggies, or gain moisture, like when we cook rice and oatmeal. But at the end of the day, the most important thing to remember is to just be consistent. So if you normally log something in raw weight in your tracker, make sure you're actually consuming the raw weight and not the cooked weight. Quick example. A good rule of thumb is that meat tends to lose approximately 25% of its weight once cooked. So if you grill 6 ounces of chicken breast, it will typically end up weighing around 4.5 ounces after it's cooked. If you're weighing once it's cooked, then 6 ounces of grilled chicken will actually be 8 ounces of raw chicken. Make sense? My recommendation would be, if you can, try to weigh your food raw and log it raw, as it tends to be the most accurate. But as mentioned earlier, what matters most is that you're staying consistent with your logging method. So if you'd rather log it cooked, just make sure you're searching and selecting the cooked option in your tracking app. Number 5, forgetting to track licks, nibbles, and bites. It may not seem like it makes a difference in the moment, but having a few extra macadamia nuts in your afternoon snack or eating a tiny scoop of nut butter late at night will add up. Remember, calories don't just reset overnight. If you're taking an extra nibble here and a few extra bites there every day, that will add up over the course of the week and the month. Be honest with yourself. If you're not logging these little licks, nibbles, and bites throughout the day and struggling to see the results you want, you're only cheating yourself. It's harsh, but it's reality. And number 6, playing macros Tetris. All of my clients know that I'm a stickler when it comes to pre-planning your meals for the day ahead of time. The reason is, if you don't go into your day with a plan for the foods and meals you're going to eat, you're just setting yourself up for a more stressful time trying to figure out what to eat and what fits within your daily macro goals. I say this all the time. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Again, harsh but true. If you're constantly playing macro Tetris at the end of the day, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to miss your marks. Maybe it works some days, but I promise the burnout will come on real quick. While you're sitting on the couch watching TV and winding down for the night, take the extra 5 minutes to pre-plan the following day in your tracker. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just have some sort of plan ready to go. Even just planning 80% of your day ahead of time is going to make a huge difference, I promise. I hope this was helpful. Remember, macro and calorie tracking is never going to be perfect, but it's a great way to increase awareness around your eating habits, portion sizes, and create more objective data to work with as you continue to move closer to your goals. You just listened to the post titled "Common Mistakes When Tracking Macros" by Rachel Gregory of netflexlife.com. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it filters out incompatible applicants. So when you're hiring, the process is much faster, and you only have to consider applicants that are already likely to be a great fit. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/health. Just go to Indeed.com/health right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/health. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Dr. Neil here for my commentary. When I used to be a health educator for an adult weight management program, I would encourage all of my patients to buy a food scale and some measuring cups. I would always remind them that they don't have to use these tools forever, but simply using them for a while is usually enough to get experience with how much food one serving is. Now, this wasn't an easy sell, and not everyone followed my advice. So, I would provide them with some other helpful ways to guesstimate food portions. For example, if you imagine a baseball, that represents about one cup of something. It also happens to represent a medium-sized piece of fruit, like an apple or orange. Now, if you've never held a baseball before, it could be difficult to imagine how large one is. So another, even less precise way to guesstimate one cup or one medium-sized apple or orange would be to make a fist. That would be roughly one cup. So if you're walking around the grocery store and you want to know if you're purchasing a medium-sized apple, let's say, hold your fist up to it. If the apple is about the size of your fist, then it's a medium-sized apple. Here's another example. The first joint of your index finger represents about one teaspoon. Your thumb is equal to about one tablespoon. The palm of your hand would be about 3 ounces of chicken, steak, a hamburger patty, tofu, some sort of protein. You get the idea. Again, these are rough guesstimates, so it would still be best to invest in a food scale and some measuring cups if you can. But in the meantime, you can always use these to get an idea of portion sizes. All right, that'll do it for another edition of Optimal Health Daily. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you back here tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.